Do not worry. I guess that's the theme of the scripture that was just read. You know, this morning, during my personal devotions, I was reading, I guess it was John chapter 14, where Jesus said, "My peace I give to you." And then he goes on to say, "My peace is not the peace that the world gives. The world cannot give the kind of peace that I give to you." And so I want to ask you this question this morning. I mean, don't you think that's what all of us want in life? Peace? I mean, some of us search for peace, maybe through the accumulation of material things or finances, whatever. But we're seeking it for the wrong reasons. Because those kinds of things only give us temporary peace. I mean, if you take on a new job, it may give you peace for a while, but then that new job will grow old after a while. And so I think the greatest commodity that most of us are searching for in our lives is to lie our heads down on our pillows at night and to have peace. Amen? Amen. I mean, that's what I'm searching for. But I will tell you, one of the biggest robbers of peace is worry. Worry robs us of the peace that we're seeking. Think back. Think back over the times that you were so worried. And I want to ask you, did those worries help you in any way over that situation? Probably not. There's a difference between being worried and being concerned. We should be concerned about our future, our livelihood, our families, the functioning of this church as the leadership. Concerned is very different than worry. And I could tell you this, if you take a serious look at worry, normally what we're worried about is something that already happened in our past or something that hasn't happened yet in the future. So, in fact, we're not living in the here and now. We're worried about something that's already happened that we could really do nothing about. We can only worry about or be concerned about what we're going to do today. Or we're worried about something that hasn't even happened yet, and it's robbing us of our peace. You know, and we're tested by life's challenges. And is there anybody here who's never been tested by life's challenges? Never. See, we have one person here. But we're going to lay some oil on him and try to deliver him. We have all been challenged in our lives if we've lived this life long enough. There's just no doubt about it. And when we become despondent, when we become anxious, when we become worried over these situations, what happens? We are expecting something terrible to happen further. In other words, we're waiting for the other shoe to drop. And I don't think God wants us to live in that kind of expectation. Who, in their right mind, would want to live in a consistent state of disappointment or the expectancy of disappointment that something is going to happen and we're just waiting for that other shoe to drop? When we do, I believe, and this is not a condemnation of anyone here or even myself, because I think there are times when all of us allowed worry to rob us of our peace. But I think when we live in a consistent state of worry like that, with the expectation that something negative is going to come our way, I think it says a little something about our condition concerning our faith. Are we a people of faith? Or not. The Bible says that we should wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. But how do we wait upon the Lord? Well, how do we wait upon the Lord to do something when we're living in a constant state of negativity? And by the way, friends, you know this. If you turn on the news, we're bombarded with tons of negativity. I'm a news junkie, so I can't even do it. I ask God, could you have me fast from the news for a month? And I can't do it. I still go back to the TV set. But, you know, in a state of negativity, in a state of fearfulness, being stressed out, anxious, and worried, how can we wait upon the Lord with that kind of condition of heart or spirit? I know it goes against the grain of this enlightened culture, my friends, but the Bible tells us that we should wait upon the Lord. Listen to this. We should wait upon the Lord with great expectation that God's going to show up. That in the midst of our condition that we're so concerned and worry about, God is going to show up in the midst of that. Expecting a breakthrough. Expecting God to help us get above and beyond and over the circumstances that we are facing. I remember my wife and I went to see our daughter, and our granddaughter was standing by the door like a little puppy with her tail wagging because she knew Grandma was bringing something. And Grandma had this little stuffed animal behind her back. And there's our granddaughter by the storm door, trying to look behind my wife's back, full of expectation that Grandma wasn't going to disappoint her. She had something. I just know it. And my wife pulled out that stuffed animal. Oh, you would have thought she was given $1 million. And I thought to myself, we should be filled with that kind of expectation, that God's not going to show up with a stuffed animal, but God's going to show up with an answer that's going to get us through the condition that we're so worried about. And now I didn't just fall off the turnip truck, folks. I know when stuff could fall on you and it's pretty heavy. And I know that some of you, even this morning, are dealing with issues that can seem overwhelming. See, I'm not making it simplistic. I'm not trying to demean the whole concept that we go through stuff. You ever hear that saying, stuff happens? The world says it in a different way. But stuff happens in our lives. And things are going to come our way. And things are going to challenge us. And issues are going to arise in our families. And stuff is going to happen with our finances and our relationships and with our employment and so forth and on and on and on. But are we waiting upon the Lord with great expectation today? God wants to do the same thing for us as his children, as my wife did for our granddaughter, showing up with a surprise behind her back. Why not? That's the question I ask us today, including myself. Why not live with a spirit of expectation that God's going to break through the situation that we're facing? Why not live expecting his presence, his wisdom, his answer, his peace, expecting God to show up? That's what faith is all about. Not on the things that we could see, but on the things that we cannot see. You know, in 2001, I shot down to the World Trade Center to volunteer as a chaplain. And when I saw that pile, and I saw that devastation, I said to myself, there's no way I could help here, and I was going to leave. I had a collar on, I looked like the clergy, and I'm saying, what could I possibly tell these people? And then God clearly said to me, don't focus on what you see, focus on what cannot be seen. And that is my mercy, my peace, my love, my strength. And he basically said, now get in there and start encouraging these guys. And I did it for 3 months only by the grace of God. And so we can't just focus on what we see in our situations, what's going on with our families or anything else we might be struggling with this morning. We need to cry out to Jesus, say, Jesus, don't pass me by today. I am in need of help. We need to remind ourselves, as Paul does to the church in Ephesus, he says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could imagine. You hear what he said? God could do more than we could ever imagine in our carnal minds. God says to us consistently in the quietness of our soul, I've got this. Just trust me. Just wait upon me. I can handle this situation you're going through. I can give you the help that you're looking for today. Whatever you do, if you're hanging out with people, and I don't mean that we shouldn't witness to negative people, but if you're hanging around people that are consistently negative and they're going to commiserate with you, friends, you could get people to commiserate with you any day of the week. I would say to you, you ought to find a new group to hang out with. Because if all you're going to do is stand around and share woe is me stories, you're just going to bring each other down. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't need to be around people who are going to commiserate with me. When I'm down, I hope the person who's with me is going to lift me up. And when that person's down, I hope I'm the person to lift him or her up. And I think that's what my marriage is like with my wife. This yin-yang thing that they talk about, it's helpful. So that when you are down, you're around people that are going to lift you up. I love what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. He says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up. And friends, let me tell you something. It should be happening in the church. I always tell people, if you come to church on Sunday morning, this church, any church, and you leave feeling worse than when you arrived, you need to find a new church. Because this should be a place where we come and we're encouraged and we're lifted up so that we can get above our circumstances, get back out into that world and be the light that He calls us to be. Amen. But always remember this. We can have good friends. We can have a good church family. There's no doubt about that. We should be dependent on one another for encouragement. But always remember, as Brenda read, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek God out first before you seek anyone else. Before you tune in to Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz and all the other doctors that are on TV today, get into the great physician, Jesus Christ, and seek His help before anyone else. Now, listen, you know where it all begins? It begins with a thought in our head. We think something negative, and it ferments there. And then it begins to travel down 18 inches to our heart, and now we start to get contaminated with negativity. Now, I love what it says in 2 Corinthians 9:5. That's a quote that you should put on your refrigerator, 2 Corinthians 9:5, because I use it on a daily basis. When a negative thought comes into my head, I cry out a prayer, take every thought captive under the obedience of Jesus Christ. So I say, Lord, I want to hit this guy with a brick. I take this thought captive under the obedience of Jesus Christ. Come here, give me a hug. Now, I never really thought of hitting somebody with a brick, but I use that just to wake you guys up. But you see, when that thought comes into your head, when that negative thought about somebody else or somebody wronged me, or, you know, I can't stand this job I'm in, people don't treat me right, and you got this negativity going on, and you know if you go into the coffee room, there's going to be three more that's going to come right in. You're going to become a mini choir. Lord, I take this thought captive under the obedience of Jesus Christ. Take this thought out of my head and fill it up with the mind of Christ. Not this choir, no. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate the editorials. You see, when it enters your mind, don't let it ferment, folks. Get rid of it right away. Think on the positive things that God promises. In my wife's class, and I invite you all to take her class, it's still going on, 7 Steps to Answered Prayer. It's in the library after fellowship time. But I believe her Bible study talks about capturing certain scriptures that will encourage you to get rid of those negative thoughts and to dwell on them. Paul tells the Philippians in Philippians 4, 8, and 9, listen to what he says. He says, finally, my brothers and sisters, he says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever is excellent and praiseworthy. In other words, he's saying all these positive things. He says, think on that. Why? Because the church was going through a hard time. There's a lot of negativity going on. There's a lot of infighting going on in the church. And he says, no, don't think about those things. Think about things that are positive. so that they could overwhelm the negativity that's going on in your mind, heart, and your spirit. And so when those anxious, worrisome, fearful, and stressful thoughts begin to enter your mind, and they do for me, begin to quote the promises of God. Folks, that's why it's so important that we get into the Word of God and that the Word of God gets into us. You see, when we start to get negative, we need to hold on to the promises of God. And what are some of the promises? I could do all things in Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I got this with you, Lord. I am more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ over my situation right now. I've already won the battle with your help, Lord. Nothing could separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. And so I know you're with me. It may seem lonely right now, but you're walking with me, Lord. God's perfect love casts out all fear. There's another one. You start to be fearful about situations and circumstances. God's love will cast out all that fear that you're beginning to feel in your life because of your circumstances. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but the power of love and a sound mind." Sound mind. That's what I want. I want a sound mind so that I could get and make the right decisions for the circumstances I'm facing. And so Jesus reminds us this morning, folks, that he gives us a peace that passes all understanding that you can't get from the world. You can't even get from other people who are close to you. It's a peace that the world could never give. Start speaking God's truth into that situation. Let Jesus whisper into your ear the words that he promised in John 14. Peace I leave with you. Peace I leave with you. Jesus offers us peace in the midst of the storm. Remember when he spoke to the wind? Man, if he could tell the storm to be quiet, he could tell the storm in your life to be quiet. Amen? Amen. He offers us comfort in seasons of unrest. He calms us when our mind is racing out of control. Have you ever gone to bed at night and you put your head on the pillow and your brain is just going sideways? Can't sleep. Things are going wrong. He wants us to have peace of mind. God has given us the power and the resources and the ability with his help to get through our situation. And he will help us solve our problems. But remember, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's what she read before. Don't seek out anything else first. Seek the Lord first. Now, in our human condition, I know it's easy to seek other areas first. I know it's easy to call your mother-in-law, your father-in-law, your cousin, your best friend, even the pastor for that matter. Call upon God. You need to remind yourself who you are in Christ, that you're a child of God, you're a king's kid, that you were created in his image. Imagine that. We're created in the image of God. I was recently talking to someone, and he told me this, and it saddened me, really. He said, "You know, Pastor, I live in constant fear that I'm going to get laid off, that I'm going to walk in one day and get a pink slip." And he says, "It's robbed me of my peace." He said, "I can't sleep at night. I'm having trouble eating, or I'm overeating." And he said, I'm just waiting to go in and have the other shoe drop." And I said to him, "Let me ask you this question, my friend. Is any of this worry that you have, has it helped you in any way?" "Well, what do you mean?" "Well, you seem to be so concerned. You can't sleep. You can't do this. You can't eat. You're worried about the other shoe dropping. Has it helped you in any way?" I says, "Instead, you need to pray to God, 'Lord, help me with my job. And even if I lose this job, I'm praying, Lord, that you'll open up the door to a better job than I already have.'" I said, "Would you pray that prayer?" And he said he would, and he did. What good did his worrying do for him? None whatsoever. We shouldn't fear like the world, because the Bible says we're not citizens of this world. We're just passing through. Don't watch the news and start biting your fingernails. I want to tell you something this morning. God's bigger than our government. Amen. He's bigger than our government. He's bigger than Wall Street. He's even bigger than the Super Bowl. He's bigger. He's able. He's capable. He can do all things. We can do all things through Him, through Christ who strengthens us. I've quoted this scripture many times, my friends. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. It's one of my favorite passages that I remind myself of on a constant basis. Do not be anxious about anything, but in all things come to God with prayer and petition and thanksgiving. Make your requests known to Him. Listen what He'll do. He'll give you a peace which passes all understanding, and He'll guard your troubled mind and your troubled heart. You're troubled today? Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious, church. Give it over to Jesus. I've discovered over the years that God may want to close one door so He can open another, but He will open another door. We should be mindful of that. Well, I had somebody say, well, Pastor, shouldn't I do something? Yeah, be proactive. Certainly, if you need to find a job, go look for one. I'm not saying sit at home and say these prayers and all of a sudden a big company is going to knock on your door and say, we want you to be the CEO. I'm not silly. Do something. Of course. Amen. But stop worrying is my point this morning. Someone might say it's simplistic. Folks, that's a comment made by the carnal mind, not the mind of Christ. It may sound simple, but I will tell you, the price was already paid on the cross. Jesus paid it all so that we don't have to worry. Pray, confess, keep the faith, make your needs known to Him. Be thankful. Focus on God, not people, your problems, your circumstances. Focus on Him. You know what I've heard people say to me over the years? Maybe this has happened to you. You're down. You're not feeling right. And so what goes through your mind is, you know what? I'm not going to church today. Have you ever said that? Uh-oh, one person said yes. I'm not going to that Bible study tonight. I'm not going to church today. And you know what I found? Testimonies. Dozens and dozens of testimonies that said, Pastor, I wasn't coming to church this morning, but I'm glad I did because that message was for me. I need to hear that message today. You know, Father does know best. He knows exactly what you need, and He's ready. Being anxious and stressed out and worried will affect you physically, spiritually, emotionally, relationally, and every other way that you could imagine. We have a choice whether or not we're going to allow that to happen. The bottom line question this morning is this, friends, and I'll end with this. Are we going to trust God or not? Are we going to trust God with the situation we're going through or not? Are we going to wait upon the Lord? I love what Proverbs 3:5 says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways and all your circumstances, and He will make that crooked path straight for you. Don't trust in yourself. Don't even trust in others. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Cover your life in prayer every day. Cover your family in prayer. Cover your children in prayer. Cover your marriage in prayer, your finances, your job, your ministry, your grandchildren. Every day. Cover your life in prayer. Begin the day with covering prayer. Cover your mind in prayer. Say, Lord, every thought I have today, may it be with the mind of Christ and not with my mind. Put on the full armor of God. Don't leave your house without it so that you're protected. I can make you one promise this morning, and it's based on Scripture. I can make you one promise this morning. Your worry will not help, but prayer and trust in the Lord will. That's a biblical promise. You could take that to the bank. That's a check that won't bounce. I promise you that. And so I end with this scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. Listen to this, friends. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you in your time of need. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you. I'm here right now, just waiting for you to turn to me and to stop worrying. And so, Father, this morning, I know in this assembly, without even speaking to people, there are people this morning who have come to church who are heavy burdened with issues that are not light issues. They're serious issues. They could be health issues, relational issues, raising children, issues that are on the job, situations that are causing us to lose our sleep at night. And my prayer this morning is that we could lay it at the foot of the cross and that you will turn to us. For the Bible says, I cried out to the Lord and he heard me and he turned to me and he lifted me out of that slimy pit and he put my feet on a solid rock. And so, Lord, I know that you're there just waiting to lift us out of our circumstances. And so this morning we're standing on your promises and we're claiming victory over that situation. In the name of Jesus, amen.